wet. I've noticed over the last few months, every Sunday here, that there's some kind of correlation on birthdays of who raises their hand. It seems like the little ones, all the way up to their almost teen years, are excited to raise it up. And then there's that lull in the middle when no one wants to admit to having a birthday until you get older. And then you're glad you still got birthdays and you raise your hand again. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. And was at our men's breakfast yesterday, and they was asking me what I was speaking on. And they said, don't tell me we're still in chapter 4. We seem like we've been here forever. In Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 12, and remember, we just got through with Jesus and his temptations in the wilderness. And we're going to read down to verse 17. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which was upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, and that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in that region in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, there are a few things that we need to look at in this passage. And we're not going to be able to cover all of it today. But first of all, if you'll notice, between 11 and 12, it said, and Jesus leaveth him, or the devil leaveth him, and the angels came and ministered unto Jesus. That was the end of his temptation. And then Matthew jumps down to 12, and he says, and when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, he went into Galilee. Now, there's about a year's timeline between those two events that we'll take a look at in the future. But Matthew leaves that out. And then he goes up to verse 13, and then he jumps a little bit, and he says, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. And Ray, if you could, if you put up our first picture of Galilee, please. Now, we're going to talk about this. Ray gave me a fancy pointer, told me not to put nobody's eye out. But we're going to be talking about this region here, the northern part of Israel, that is by this time called Galilee. And specifically, here in a moment, this little town on the seacoast called Capernaum. Now, a couple of things I want to draw your attention to here. In verse 12, and you can underline this for the future messages, but when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, and then again in 17, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach. To repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, it's significant that Jesus didn't start to preach his public message until John was cast into prison, when God had taken him out of the way as the forerunner of the Christ. And then Jesus stepped in, carrying on the same message that the kingdom of heaven was at hand again with the men on earth. So we're going to look at that here in a little bit. And then we come to this town of Capernaum. Jesus left Nazareth and became a resident of Capernaum, and that's where all his ministry was focused out of. That's where a lot of the disciples are from. That's where Matthew was from when Jesus called him to be a disciple. He was a tax collector in the city of Capernaum. And matter of fact, later on in Matthew 9, he actually says when Jesus is crossing the seas, he calls Capernaum Jesus' hometown. So that becomes his base of operations during his ministry. But today I want to focus on why Galilee. So before we start talking about this missing timeline and the things that happened when Christ started his ministry, when I read this, I got to thinking, what's so special about Galilee? Why this part of Israel? Because Christ was born in Bethlehem. That's where God chose his ruler to be from. And it's only 10 miles away to the capital city of Jerusalem, where the temple was built, where the Ark of the Covenant sat, where God said, I will meet with you in this place that I choose, and I'll set my king on the throne of Zion in Jerusalem. So why Galilee? What was significant about it? And before we get in too much, so we're going to concentrate today mainly on these three verses, 14, 15, and 16. And it says that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. In them that which sat in this region, in the shadow of death, light has sprung up. Now this is a quote from Isaiah chapter 9. But before we get to that, we're going to have to look at a brief history of Israel. And I say brief, it's going to take most of our message, but we need to have an overview of what's going on with this city, or this region. And it's interesting, when I got to thinking this morning, a brother Sean quoted Matthew 12, where Christ compared himself to Jonah. He said, you know, you're a wicked generation. You seek a sign, but you're not going to get no more signs except for the sign of Jonah. And if you remember in the Gospel of John, the priests are saying, they denying the Christ, they said he cannot be the chosen one, the Messiah, because he comes from Galilee. They said, search the scriptures. No prophet has ever come from Galilee. But they forgot about the one prophet that Jesus compared himself to, the only prophet that Jesus compared himself to, and that's the prophet Jonah, who come from up near, it's not on this map, but right in here is Nazareth. Jonah come from just outside of Nazareth, by the city of Gath. And he also compared himself with Jonah. And what did Jonah do? He preached to the Ninevites, and they repented. And the Ninevites are way over here that we're going to look at in a little bit, in the land of Assyria. So as Jonah went and preached to the enemies of Israel, the non-Jewish people, that's what Christ was comparing himself to. And that'll be significant as we go on a little bit further into our study. So if you would, turn over. Let's go all the way back to the book of Exodus. And Ray, if you would, please switch slides to Judah, I believe is what we called it. The book of Exodus, chapter 23. And we're just going to do an overview and some reading here to learn a history. Oh, the other one, that's the captivity. We had this preset that, if we got the wrong slide, we'll just say the next one. Yes, the 12 tribes. There you go. Now, if you remember, God told Abraham that he was going to give him the land covenant, all the land to his descendants. And this is what he was talking about. But he had to wait. He said, you got to wait, because surely your seed, your offspring, is going to be captive or sojourners in this strange land. And 400 years later, after the promise, it was time. He said, you're not going to be able to go into this land until their transgressions have reached the full measure. So we will fast forward 400 years, and it's time that God chose that Moses led the children out of Israel because of their disobedience, they wandered in the desert for 40 years, but now we're going to be entering into the land of Israel, or what the land that God promised Abraham. So we're going to pick up in Exodus 23. And we just got sparse readings here throughout the Bible. But starting in verse 20. And it says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in thy way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice and provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries." And then skip over here, verse 29. It says, "I will not drive them out from before thee for 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. But little by little I will drive them out from before thee until thou have increased and you can inherit the land. And I will set the bounds from the Red Sea even to the Sea of the Philistines, from the great desert unto the river, and I will deliver all the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. And thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods, and they shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." Now let's fast forward. So God's giving them a warning. You go into this land, beware. We're going to drive out all the inhabitants because their iniquities have come to full measure in my sight. It's time for them to be departed out of the land. But as Israel goes in, he says, we're going to take over, but they're not big enough to take over all this at one time. God says, we're going to do it little by little. You'll go in, I'll drive them out. As you increase and you keep walking in my statutes, we'll drive them out. It's not going to happen in 1 year, but over time, you will possess everything that I have promised. Now, fast forward over to Joshua, please. Leaving Exodus, go over to Joshua. Joshua 13. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, "Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." Now I kind of had to chuckle at that because he said Joshua was old and stricken in years, but then the Lord told him, said, "You're old and stricken in years." But the point I wanted to show you, they still have not yet possessed all the land that they still had a lot to take over because they were disobeying what God had told them. And if you go through all this, you're going to see how they were making covenants with the people and intermarrying with them. Now flip over to Joshua 23. Joshua 23, we'll start in verse 10. And it says, "One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Else, if you do any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they unto you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and this is Joshua talking, and you shall know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. For all come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof that he has promised. Now look at 15. It says,